Sankaya, Chakshu Samaritam Jena Tatsma, Sri Ravenama. Sri Chaitanya Maravistam, Stapitam Jena Bhutale, Sayam Nipatidamayam Nipati, Sakyatam. Vanchakartubhyascha, Kripasindabhayavacha, Pitam Pavile Yogashivyam. Put it any way you want. Leave them alone. Okay? We have just completed Brahma's prayers. And Brahma apologized to Krishna, and he understood Krishna's position. Of course, no one completely understands Krishna's position. That is not possible, because even Krishna cannot fully understand his always increasing energies and opulences. But he understood that there was such a vast difference between Krishna and himself. Although Krishna stood before him looking as if a cowherd boy, there was so much of a difference between Krishna's body and his body that his conclusion was that others may say they know something about God, but I will not say that. How could one speak convincingly of saying that I know something? It is like trying to circumscribe something without any limit. One cannot do that. And also, his conclusion was that he appreciated the ecstasy that Krishna was experiencing. He appreciated the transcendental nature of Krishna's leelas, and he didn't feel that he was qualified to enter into Krishna's Vrindavan leelas, so even though he was so enthralled by them, because he had been watching Krishna and the cowherd boys play. Sakyam vicharu krita punja punja. Who can estimate how fortunate these cowherd boys are, because how many pious activities they've performed, because their relationship with Krishna is completely intimate. So much that they are playing with Krishna, and Krishna pushes them, and they push Krishna, and they joke. What incredible intimacy, what incredible relationship with the all-powerful Supreme Controller, inconceivably wonderful. So Brahma felt not that he was qualified for that, but even if he could take his breath anywhere, as long as he was able to get the dust of those residents of Vrindavan when they walked from Vrindavan, not even in Vrindavan itself. So Brahma then asked permission from Krishna. He felt embarrassed. Krishna didn't say anything. We heard Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describe the intimate thoughts of Krishna that Brahma's prayers were responding to. But Krishna didn't say anything, and he didn't express whether he was even pleased with the very sweet and wonderful words of Brahma. He just stood there, and Brahma began to feel the pressure of his own words, that his own words were simply expressing his foolishness, because he was daring to glorify Krishna, who was unlimited. And therefore he decided to leave. He wanted to leave, and he took Krishna's position and then went back to his position. So text 41 picks up at that point, because Brahma leaves and Krishna, after all, he was in the middle of a pastime with the cows and the cowherd boys. Brahma had stolen away the cows, the calves. And then when Krishna went looking for the calves, Brahma stole away the cowherd boys. And then Krishna, of course, expanded into so many different cowherd boys and calves. And then Brahma came back, and he saw that everything was as if he had no power and didn't do anything. So, and then Krishna began to expand his form, etc. So, that Brahma had interrupted the pastime of Krishna, so now Krishna wants to continue with that pastime. So text 41 says that Sukadeva Goswami says, who is he speaking to? He says, having thus offered his prayers, Brahma circumambulated his worshipable Lord, the unlimited personality of Godhead. Just even consider that he circumambulated something that's unlimited, someone who's unlimited. Because unlimited means, how could you circumambulate him? It's part of being unlimited is that your form has, that you have no end. So how could you circumambulate, walk around three times something that has no end? This is Krishna's Achintya Shakti. So he circumambulated his worshipful Lord, the unlimited personality of Godhead, three times, and then bowed down at his lotus feet. The appointed creator of the universe then returned to his own residence. He returned to, what is the name of Brahma's place? Brahmaloka. Another name for it? Satyaloka. And here is the purport. Short purport. Although Lord Brahma had prayed to take birth as a blade of grass in Vrindavan or even in the area surrounding Vrindavan, Lord Krishna, by his silent response to Brahma's prayers, indicated that Brahma should return to his own abode. First, Brahma had to complete his personal devotional service of universal creation. Then he could come to Vrindavan and get the mercy of the inhabitants there. In other words, a devotee should always be attentive to executing his personal devotional service properly. This is more important than trying to live in the Lord's abode. Because there may be some tinges of selfishness in one's desire to be in the Lord's abode. And being in Krishna's abode is dependent on anyavilasita sunyam, yanakama anavita, unalloyed, pure devotion, the serving mood, the unadulterated serving mood. So one has to be ready to give everything for Krishna's pleasure, and then one will in fact be in the spiritual world. So we'll read Sanatana Goswami's comment on this verse, and he says, what will be part of his comment? Even though being all pervasive, Krishna being all pervasive, Brahma circumambulated that most dear Lord three times. And then Brahma went back to his own abode, his own residence in Satyaloka. Thus, first of all, Brahma rejected his own position as the supreme living entity, either out of embarrassment or out of hankering to take up residence in Vrindavan, and was thinking in his mind, let me live anywhere at all, as long as I get some mercy. But now, having attained the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the idea is he's returning to his own position. That is because, as the creator of the universe, because he is the creator of the universe. And otherwise, if he were to leave his position, the process of universal creation would be incomplete. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead sent him back. And Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments. That what was Brahma's desire? Abhishtam, that word is in the Ityabhishtaya Bhumanam. What was his desire? Actually, he desired to attain Krishna in Vrindavan. Krishna, however, sent Brahma back to his own home in Brahmaloka, which is very dear to Brahma. Brahma is the creator of the universe, and if he suddenly abandons his post, the universe would not function properly. In the Vedanta Sutra, it is said, Yavar adhikaram avishtatir adhikarikaram. Authorities should fulfill the duties of their post for as long as they are assigned. Thus, it is understood that after fulfilling his responsibilities in the post of Brahma, Brahma would attain his desired goal of residence in Vrindavan. So he was going to get this by Krishna's grace after he fulfilled his responsibilities, performed his service properly. Text 42. After granting his son, the word is swabhuvam, tato anugyapya bhagavan swabhuvam pragavastitam. That swabhuvam means to his own son, Brahma. Narayana tvam nahi sarvadehinam atma svadisha akila loka shakshi narayana angam narabhu jalalayat tachapi mayam natchapi satyam natavaiva satyam. That Krishna is the ultimate father of Brahma. Of course, Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita, aham bijapada pata pada, but also Brahma understands that he comes from Govardhaksha Vishnu, from the lotus born of the navel of Govardhaksha Vishnu. So even the most wonderful, most powerful person in the universe, Lord Brahma, he is a son of Krishna. And as we are all sons of Lord Krishna. So the purport will explain that by saying, after granting his son Brahma permission to leave, the Supreme Personality of Godhead took the calves, who were still where they had been a year earlier, and brought them to his riverbank. So by calling, indicating that Krishna gave his son Brahma permission to leave, it indicates that Krishna, as the purport will say, forgave the offense of Brahma. And what was Brahma's offense? He interfered with Krishna's pastimes, with Krishna's desire. Rather, every living entity is supposed to cooperate with Krishna's desire. Dva ima purushaloke chara akshara se evaja chara savabhutani kutosto akshara uchite. That the living entities, there are two kinds of living entities. Those who cooperate with Krishna's desire and dovetail their own desire or make their own desire the same as Krishna's desire. And the other kind, they have an independent desire. So Brahma had an independent desire. And that was offensive. He interfered with Krishna's lila. So Krishna forgave him. So Krishna, his mind was on his lila, his coward boys and the calves. And Brahma had interrupted that. So the personality of Godhead, Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, took those calves and boys from where they had been. They were still where they had been a year before, because Brahma's, this lila, Brahma Vamohana lila, took 1 year to take place. And therefore, he brought the calves and the boys to the riverbank where he had been taking his meal and where his coward boyfriends remained just as before. So the cowherd boys were surrounding Krishna, and Krishna was performing a mystic feat by sitting in the midst of them, and every boy experienced that Krishna was looking just at them. Even though Krishna is bahunishta, he is conscious, he has so many devotees praying to him, and his consciousness is many branched in one sense, because he has to satisfy and facilitate the love of so many devotees. Yet, as in this case, Krishna is facing each boy, and then Brahma, and therefore he's personally reciprocating with everyone. So this is true for every one of the unlimited living entities. Krishna has the full capacity to care for and reciprocate and satisfy everyone, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, he brought everyone back to the riverbank where he had been taking his meal and where his coward boyfriends remained, just as before. So we'll read the purport below here. The word swabhuvam to his own son indicates that Lord Krishna forgave the offense of Brahma, the offense Brahma had committed, and treated him with affection as his son. It is stated in this verse that the original coward boyfriends and calves were situated just as before near the bank of the Jamuna and in the forest, respectively. Previously, the calves had disappeared within the forest, and Lord Krishna had gone to search for them. Not finding them, the Lord had returned to the riverbank to discuss the situation with his coward boyfriends, but they had also disappeared. Where did they go? Huh? Yes. And the cows were once again, but they had disappeared. Now the cows were once again in the forest, and the boyfriends were once again on the bank of the river, ready to take their lunch. According to Srila Sanatana Goswami, the calves and boys remained in the forest and on the riverbank respectfully for one full year. Lord Brahma did not actually take them away to another place. By the Lord's omnipotent illusory energy, the gopis and other residents of Vrindavan did not notice the calves and boys, nor did the calves and boys notice the passing of a year's time or feel any hunger, thirst, or cold, or thirst. All this was part of the pastime arranged by the Lord's illusory potency. Lord Brahma thought, I have kept all the boys and calves of Gokul sleeping on the bed of my mystic potency, and to this very day they have not risen. A similar number of boys and calves have been playing with Krishna for one whole year, yet they are different from the ones illusioned by my mystic potency. Who are they? Where did they come from? And as we know, as Brahma was thinking this, then Krishna expanded himself from the boys and calves expanded themselves into Vishnu forms, and then into different universes, and Brahma could understand that they were actually no different from Krishna. Nothing is invisible to the Supreme Lord. Thus, Lord Krishna appeared to be searching for the calves and boys only to enact the dramatic pastime of bewildering Lord Brahma. After Brahma surrendered and offered prayers, Krishna returned to the original boys and calves, who appeared exactly as before, although their size had somewhat increased because of one year's growth. According to Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, since Lord Krishna was playing exactly like an innocent cowherd boy in Vrindavan, after four-headed Brahma, how many heads? Yes, four heads. After four-headed Brahma offered his prayers to the Lord, Since Lord Krishna was playing exactly like an innocent young cowherd boy in Vrindavan, after four-headed Brahma offered his prayers to the Lord, maintained his role as a young cowherd boy, Krishna did that, and thus remained silent before Brahma. Krishna's silence indicates the following thought. Where did this four-headed Brahma come from? What is he doing? What are these words he keeps on speaking? I am busy looking for my calves. I'm just a cowherd boy and do not understand all of this. Lord Brahma had considered Lord Krishna as an ordinary cowherd boy and had treated him as such. After accepting Brahma's prayers, Krishna continued to play as a cowherd boy and thus did not answer the four-headed Brahma. Rather, Krishna was more interested in rejoining his cowherd boy friends for the picnic lunch on the bank of the Jamuna River. So the most important person in the universe, Lord Brahma, is considered insignificant in importance compared to for Krishna, compared to what he actually wants. So if a very important person comes and visits us, then we immediately stop what we're doing and receive him. But Krishna, practically speaking, wanted to get back to the real important things, which was continuing his lila, enhancing his loving exchanges with his devotees. We'll read. Quite amazing. Read some part of what Vishwanath said here. By remaining silent, Krishna gave Brahma permission to leave. It is said, Monam Samati Lakshanam. Silence means consent. Brahma had asked permission to go in verse 39. Anujanihi Mam Krishna. Krishna remained silent through the entirety of Brahma's prayers, and seeing the Lord's silence, Brahma took that as his permission to depart. Krishna could not break his silence because he was playing exactly like an innocent young cowherd boy, the son of the king of Braja, in the pastime of bewildering Brahma. Thus Krishna's silence here was deliberate. And a little later on in the comments here. In this way, by remaining silent throughout Brahma's prayers, Krishna concluded his dramatic performance. Thus, in the presence of his servant Brahma, Krishna pretended to be ignorant of his own powers and opulences. Krishna did this like an actor playing a part on the stage. And then from the 13th chapter, the previous chapter, 61st text, there's a quotation. Then Lord Brahma saw the absolute truth, who is one without a second, who possesses full knowledge and who is unlimited, assuming the role of a child in a family of cowherd men and standing all alone, just as before, with a morsel of food in his hand, searching everywhere for the calves and his cowherd friends. However, being overwhelmed by the Mahaprema, the great sweetness of love of Yasoda, and other Vaishnavas and Vatsalya Ras and other Rasas, Krishna sees that his own knowledge of his powers and opulence become covered. So it's not like Krishna is trying to trick Brahma or something like that. He's just overwhelmed by the love of the persons of Braja, especially here mentioned are the elderly gopas and gopis. He's so overwhelmed, they control him by their love. And therefore he's forced to act as an innocent cowherd boy, and he's also forgetting his own position of Krishna. So how is that possible, that Krishna forgets something? This is the inconceivable personality of Godhead. He forgets, he doesn't forget. It is whatever it seems to be, it is nothing that we can understand. Because Krishna's potency is, he is possessing full attentive shakti. Krishna continues. This ignorance of Krishna is not a pretense. He's not just putting it on. It is real. Therefore, it is not described as natyam, play acting. Krishna brought the calves who were absorbed in eating grass back to the same place on the bank of the river where the cowherd boys were sitting in exactly the same position while taking lunch. In that place were the original cowherd boys, who were different from the cowherd boy expansions who performed pastimes for 1 year with Krishna. Those were Krishna's expansions. So these pastimes, they are just full of the most unlimited wondrous sweetness of Krishna dealing with his devotees. Although the cowherd boys are not conscious, practically speaking, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because that would interfere and get in the way of their love. But for us, we should be conscious that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and yet he's playing in this way to expand the happiness, ecstatic happiness of his devotees. We remember that, and our love for Krishna and his astounding pastimes increases. So text 43. O King, who is speaking? Goswami. Although the boys had passed an entire year apart from the Lord, so this is going to explain how the boys were in the same position and how they weren't even disturbed by this. This is due to the, it was a whole year, but they were, it was under the influence of Krishna's Yoga Maya. So although the boys had passed an entire year apart from the Lord of their lives, they had covered the Lord, they had been covered by Lord Krishna's illusory potency, and thus considered that year merely half a moment. So it did not seem, because in Vrindavan also, here in the material world, everyone is under the control of time. And time has a particular function. What is the function of time? Kalosmin, Krishna says, loka chaya krit. It destroys everything. But in the spiritual world, time does not have the function of destruction. It has the function, like everything else in Goloka Vrindavan, of service, enhancing Krishna's pleasure. Everything simply wants to enhance Krishna's happiness, his pleasure. So time facilitates the pastimes of Krishna. So time can stretch, it can contract. So practically speaking, here, the 1 year contracted to half a moment. And other times, one night of the rasa dance expanded into thousands and millions of years. So time is just serving Krishna according to what's required. So the boys simply considered 1 year as half a moment by the influence of Yoga Maya. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has a short comment here. Four verses, 43 to 46, show how the inconceivable power of Yoga Maya allowed the coward boys to be unaware of the passage of 1 year, and thus conclude their lunch pastimes with Krishna, who had arrived with a morsel of food in his hand as previously, because during when Krishna had left to look for the calves, he was eating, so he took some food with him, and he was still holding that same food in his left hand. For the whole time of that year, for the time when Brahma was speaking to him, he was just standing there very innocently. So he arrived with a morsel of food in his hand as previously. Without Krishna, 1 year became like a moment, as they were covered by Yoga Maya. Usually in meeting Krishna, a long time seems very short. But in this case, separation from Krishna seemed very short due to the influence of Yoga Maya. Yugayitam namesena, saptishasvayasayitam, sanyayitam. So when separated from Krishna, a moment can appear like a yuga, thousands of years passing so slowly. But here, by the influence of Yoga Maya, the exact opposite effect was there. The boys practically were not aware of Krishna's, the lack of Krishna's presence. 44. So these verses 43 through 46, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describe the influence of Yoga Maya. I'll read all of those verses. What indeed is not forgotten by those whose minds are bewildered by the Lord's illusory potency? Did you hear that? What indeed is not forgotten by those whose minds are bewildered by the Lord's illusory potency? By that power of Maya, The entire universe remains in perpetual bewilderment. And in this atmosphere of forgetfulness, no one can understand his own identity. The coward boyfriend said to Lord Krishna, "You have returned so quickly. We have not eaten even one morsel in your absence. Please come here and take your meal without distraction." Then Lord Rishikesh, smiling, finished his lunch in the company of his coward friends. While they were returning from the forest to their homes in Braja, Lord Krishna showed the coward boys the skin of the dead serpent, Agasura. Because that was the original question of Maharaj Prickett that had evoked Sukadev Goswami to explain this pastime. Is after Agasura was killed, Sukadev Goswami said that no one knew about this pastime for 1 year. Because the coward boys, every day when they returned from the forest, they only had one thing on their mind. They were so happy to have spent their time with Krishna, and they would just be making up songs and singing about Krishna's pastimes. Krishna did this in wonderful verses and songs and rhyming poetry. And then the cowherd ladies in the village and everyone would hear the glories of Krishna being sung by the cowherd boys, and they would sing those same glories. So the question that Prickett Maharaj had asked is, how come this wonderful pastime of the killing of Agasura took place, but no one heard about it, or to speak of, sung about it for a whole year? And this was the answer, because the coward boys and the cows had been stolen away by Lord Brahma. So now we'll go back to 43 and read some of the comments. What no one remembered anything for 1 year. So what Maya cannot make one forget. So here's the purport of that, and then we'll read Vishnu and Sanatana Goswami's. It is clearly stated here that the entire universe is bewildered. Thus, even great demigods like Indra and Brahma are not exempt from the principle of forgetfulness. Since Lord Krishna exercised his internal illusory potency over his coward boyfriends and calves, it is not at all astonishing that for 1 year they cannot remember their position. Indeed, by the Lord's external illusory potency, the conditioned souls forget their existence not only for 1 year, but for many billions and billions of years as they transmigrate through the kingdom of ignorance called the material world. And the comment of Sanatana Goswami to text 44. In this world, by which one has forgotten his own self, that's a translation of one of the Sanskrit lines, that the nature, because how could the boys have forgotten their identity? Well, we forget our identities completely by the influence of one Maya, and they forgot their identity, that what was going on, by the influence of another Maya. So, quote, in this world, by one has forgotten his own self, or by which even the omnipresent Supreme Lord is forgotten. The word all is spoken with reference to the bewilderment of Indra and others. Constantly means that even for one who has at some time, somehow or other, remembered or reminded others, there is again forgetfulness. This thus is expressed the power of illusion. So no one should underestimate the power of Maya. We sometimes flirt with Maya, trying to capture some Maya. But then in our process of flirting, we are caught and completely bewildered. Dayato visata pungsan sangastesho vijayate. Everything is lost. Maya is so powerful. So powerful. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. Because it also bewilders the living entity, Krishna's external potency, Mahamaya, is given as an example to indicate the power of Krishna's spiritual, Yogamaya, potency. Here Brahma says, as a conditioned soul forgets his spiritual identity due to being bewildered by Krishna's external illusory potency, Mahamaya, the coward voice, I think it's Sukadeva, not Brahma who's saying this. The Mahamaya, the coward boys and calves, for 1 year forgot the suffering of being separated from the Lord because they were bewildered by Krishna's internal illusory potency, Yogamaya. And in text 45, there's a short comment here. The word Svagatam, what does Svagatam usually mean? Welcome. And Teti Rahamsa indicate that the coward boys were congratulating Lord Krishna because Krishna had just came back and they said, Swagatam. They welcomed him back. They were congratulating him for coming back. For why? For having brought the calves back so quickly from the forest. Now Lord Krishna's beloved friends urged him to sit down properly and eat to his full satisfaction. According to Srila Prabhupada's Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the coward boyfriends felt quite jubilant and were eager to eat with their dear friend Krishna. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has a short comment here. After congratulating Swagatam Te, Krishna, for having brought the calves back so quickly, Ati Ramhasa, from the forest, he brought, because it was a year, but they experienced it as a moment. Time had collapsed by the influence of Yogamaya. So they congratulated Krishna for having collected the calves so quickly. The coward boys said, we thought you would take at least a half an hour to bring back the calves who had wandered far away. But you have brought them back in an instant. Without you, we have not eaten a morsel. So please come here. 46. So this was the text where, while they were going home, Krishna showed the boys the skin of the dead serpent, Agasura. And there's no comment, but here Sanatana Goswami says, yeah, the comment. The word is Tato Hasan Rishikesho. Tata, then Hasan, smiling or laughing, Rishikesh, Lord Krishna, the master of all senses. Abhyavaritya, take lunch, Saha, along with the coward boys. So Krishna, smiling, he finished his lunch in the company of his coward boyfriends. So here Sanatana Goswami says, the Hasan, or smiling, laughing, because of hearing their words, which were confused because of illusion. So Krishna knew that it didn't take a half a moment, and that it wasn't fast as that. It was a whole year, so he smiled. That could be one reason why he smiled, but another reason, Sanatana Goswami said, because of the feelings of elation, that were happiness arising for not having heard statements expressing pain and so on. Because he would have felt happy that they didn't say, oh, Krishna, for a whole year we were suffering so much. To not see you, impossible, we almost died. So Krishna was smiling because there was nothing like that at all. So therefore Yogamaya had collapsed the time so to facilitate the Leela and to make sure Krishna didn't experience anything, any unhappiness. So along with the boys he ate implies that apart from them, he himself also, for all of that time, had not eaten anything. For that whole year, Krishna had not eaten. But it may be objected, then why has he been tolerated by Sri Yasoda and the others? How could Yasoda, Mayi, and the other mothers tolerate that Krishna hadn't eaten for a year? That is replied to by the word Rishikesha, meaning that he is the motivator of the functions of the senses of all. This idea is instilled in their minds by his expertise in imitatively acting in response to the command, come and eat. So they would say, come and eat, and Krishna would say, yes, Mata. And he would go, and he would, everyone would be convinced that he was eating, but Krishna would not eat during this time because his boyfriends weren't eating. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. We could ask, well, why didn't Krishna eat? Or we could ask, we can say, well, of course, Krishna doesn't have to eat, so it wasn't inconvenient for him not to eat. Or he could have eaten, reciprocate with other devotees, with Mother Yasoda. But Krishna is a person. He has personality. He has specific characteristics. And he did not want to eat because his friends weren't eating. How wonderful. How wonderful. Or, Sanatana Goswami says, at that time, although he personally had no attraction to eating, simply for their satisfaction, Mother Yasoda's satisfaction, he ate. But now his own sense of taste is active, and thus it is with the greatest satisfaction that he's engaged in eating, accepting the various perceptions of taste, fragrance, and so on, because his friends are saying, oh, Krishna, please take. Thus they left for Braja. The same idea is expressed in the alternative reading of Navavarta, showing the skin of the python, is to be understood as indicating that for all of this time that skin was kept hidden away by the Supreme Personality of Godhead so that the narration of the killing of Agasura might be related in Vrindavan and remembered. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments on this text. Short comment. Smiling, Hasan, to show his joy, Krishna ate with the boys. The word abhyavaritya, after finishing their lunch, means that even though a year had passed, the food did not show any lack of taste. The word dasayam, showing, means that Krishna told his friends, look, here is the dead snake covered with blood. Yogamaya had carefully preserved the snake's corpse so that the boys would spread the news of the killing of Agasura in the village of Braja. Leaving their forest pastimes, Navartata Vanadvrajam, Krishna and the boys returned home. So now there are two verses describing the the return of the cowherd boys with Krishna home. And in the next chapter, there are more verses that will describe this very wonderful scene. Just imagine the love of the residents of Vrindavan when he would go out in the forest. Everyone would be there to send him off. And then they would just be thinking about Krishna all day long until he returned. And then he would return. And all the residents of Vrindavan, it would be like life returning to their bodies when Krishna would return. So, 40. Then Lord Rishikesh, smiling, finished his lunch. We just read that one. 47. Lord Krishna's transcendental body was decorated with peacock feathers and flowers and painted with forest minerals. And his bamboo flute loudly and festively resounded. As he called out to his calves by name, his cowherd boyfriends purified the whole world by chanting his glories. Thus Lord Krishna entered the cowherd pasture of his father, Nanda Maharaj, and the sight of his beauty at once produced the great festival for the eyes of all the cowherd women. The comment here. According to Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the gopis mentioned here are the elder cowherd ladies, such as Mother Yasoda, who loved Krishna with parental affection. Krishna's cowherd boyfriends were so proud of Krishna's wonderful activities that while entering the village, they all sang his glories. Srinathan Goswami comments on text 47. Thus, the excess of joy generated from the association of his dear companions, the cows and the boys, and with the particular ornaments and so on of forest substances, such as the red dyes and minerals and leaves and flower garlands and peacock feathers. They created ecstasy for the eyes of the women of Braja. He entered Braja as spoken by the verse beginning Bara. Forest elements means red clay and so on. That was decorating Krishna. And whose limbs are wonderfully decorated with particular ornaments, such as a peacock feather, peacock feathers. Thus there is a festival from the resounding of the flutes made of bamboo, whose resounding is very loud. Or he was adorned by the festival of dancing, singing, and so on. And whose glories, consisting of the killing of Agasura and so on, which are pavitra in the sense of being spotlessly pure, or else in the sense of being purifying for the whole universe, are chanted by those accompanying young boys, sung by them in great joy, just as a regular song loudly chanted is in a sweet voice with regular meter and so on. By the word gopis indicate Sri Yasoda and the other women of Vrindavan. Indeed, at that moment there arose for their eyes great ecstasy from the excessive joy of seeing Lord Krishna. Or gopis mean the goddesses who have Sri Krishna as their exclusive darling, Sri Radha and the others, since it is a definite fact that for their eyes there is a special festival generated by seeing him. Or by the drik, or the vision of the gopis, the direct audience arranged by them, there is a festival for Krishna's faculty of sight, because the gopis stand and they see Krishna, but also Krishna sees them. So for the gopis it is a festival, but it also for Krishna is a festival because of the mutual exchange of love. Thus it is stated there is a mutual joy in seeing one another, and this is to be understood as occurring within Vrindavan, since it is the case that they had not gone from Vrindavan to tend the cows, far from Vrindavan. And 48. As the cowherd boys reached the village of Braja, so what was going on? The boys were playing the bamboo flutes, they were singing about Krishna, and beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Krishna, decorated so exquisitely by the dust of the calves, by the forest minerals, peacock feather, gunja necklace. So Krishna was entering. And when they reached the village of Braja, they sang today in beautiful songs, loud voices. They sang so sweetly and beautifully. Today Krishna saved us by killing a great serpent. And some of the boys described Krishna as the son of Yasoda, and others as the son of Nanda Maharaj. Purport. Actually, Lord Krishna had killed the demon Agasura 1 year earlier. But the boys, bewildered by the mystic potency of Brahma for 1 year, did not notice the time passing, and thus thought that on that very day Lord Krishna had killed the demon Agasura and was now returning home with them. Comment of Srila Sridhar Swami and Sanatana Swami Vishwanath will read those. Sridhar Swami says, the word Yasoda Nanda Shunana is shown here as the speaking together of many different persons. Some of them said, the son of Yasoda, and the others, the son of Nanda, or Yasoda Nanda, in the sense that he gives pleasure to Yasoda, and he is also her son. Thus by him, we have also been protected from the great serpent. So this is what the cowherd boys were singing in their beautiful compositions. Sanatana Goswami, very, very short comment. The son of Yasoda who had appeared as her ecstasy, such as derived from the fact of his giving special satisfaction to her by this activity of his killing of Agasura. And Vishnu of Chakravarti Thakur, short comment also. The cowherd boy sang, one snake was killed by this child of Yasoda and Nanda, or by this small boy who gives fame and bliss, he also saved us from that awesome snake. So they sang and sang and sang the glories of Krishna. So that ends one section, and now King Prithvi, Maharaj Prithvi, after hearing this, he begins to speak. O Brahmana, who is he speaking to? O Brahmana, how could the cowherd women have developed for Krishna, someone else's son, such unprecedented pure love, love they never felt for their own children? Please explain this. So he asks, how is it possible? Krishna had taken the forms of their sons, and yet they felt more love for Krishna than their own sons. Why is this? So this next section, 48 through 61, is 14 verses, I believe, and that will complete this chapter. And if Krishna allows, we shall finish that tomorrow. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes. Thought it was their own children, but yet their love for their own children, as they were thinking, was much more than it ever before, because it wasn't their own children, it was Krishna.
Kidnapped.
They came back. Yeah, Krishna unexpanded himself. They all went back into Krishna's body.
After one year,
and Brahma saw this. Cool, yeah? No, he didn't bring them back. It sounds like the different acharyas have different explanations. It sounds like one of them, I think Sanatana Swami said, actually he never had taken them. He couldn't take them. And therefore, he was bewildered by he was thinking, oh, I've taken them, but actually, they were still in the same place they were. But Krishna had, and then other acharyas say that Krishna had, it was actually Krishna's potency that had done it, because he had sanctioned Brahma had tried his mystic potency, but it was Krishna's sanctioning that allowed him to do it, otherwise Brahma couldn't, in fact, interfere with Krishna's leela. So, Krishna contracted, so to speak, all his expansions back inside of him. That was described in the 13th chapter. And then it just was a matter of Krishna. The boys were in the same place they were, and the cows were in the forest. The boys were in the bank of the Yamuna. So Krishna went to, he just brought the calves back, and it appeared to the boys as if it was half a moment. They congratulated him. Can't say he's not pure, but you could say that certainly his bhakti is different, of a lesser quality than the bhakti of the residents of Vrindavan.
So that he wanted to give the purest bhakti actually.
The residents of Vrindavan.
Which has no fear and no lamentation of this kind.
It's fully centered on Krishna. Therefore, Mahaprabhu said, Rami. Very interesting. opinion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that there is a radyo bhagavan vrajesha tanayo si vrindavanam, that there is no better worship of Krishna. Radyo bhagavan vrajesha tanayo, but there is no better worship. One of the parts of it is there's no better worship, that the gopis of Vrindavan worship Krishna. The residents of Vrindavan are the best worshippers of Krishna. The gopis of Vrindavan are the best worshippers of Krishna. The highest dham is Sri Vrindavan dham, and the highest shastra that, the highest praman shastra that, for evidence of anything is the Srimad Bhagavatam. The greatest devotees of residents of Vrindavan and the topmost of the gopis. Vrindavan is the highest dham. Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest pramanam of evidence, authority for the absolute truth. And this is the opinion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that we accept. Yes? Calves, yes. But also, if I remember correctly, describe that we can also walk away from Krishna if we're looking for something that we think is more tasty than Krishna's association. So we should be careful. And there's such a tendency to think, oh, over there, it's just something a little bit. The grass is a little tastier than right over here, so let me just wander over there a little bit, and then wander a little further, and then just as Sukadev Goswami said, the power of Maya will make us forget everything. So we have to be careful not to wander. Cool, yeah? Wandering not allowed. Staying close to Krishna's holy names. And Sisi Gornatai and Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet and the devotees. Okay? Yes? Very insignificant. What to do? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.